Welcome to a new deep dive from AI Unraveled, the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada.
Hey, everyone.
If you're looking to stay ahead in the world of AI, make sure to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Today, well, we're tackling a really fascinating bunch of recent happenings in artificial intelligence.
We are. And we've picked these specifically for you, the person who wants those crucial insights without, you know, getting totally bogged down in the weeds.
Exactly. And our sources this week, they're pretty diverse. We've got government regulations, big tech strategies,
all the way to some really groundbreaking research, and even AI looking at animal communication and how it's touching our legal system, too. It's quite a mix.
It really is. So our mission today is basically to unpack all this, pull out the most important bits, and figure out what it all means for AI generally and, well, for you listening.
Okay, where should we start? Maybe AI and geopolitics? That seems like a big one right now.
Sounds good. Yeah, there's a lot happening there. For instance, U.S. Senator Tom Cotton's proposed Chip Security Act.
Right. The key thing to grasp here, I think, is the strategy behind it. They want mandatory location verification for certain AI chips being exported.
So, like, tracking them.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Tracking them and the products they're in. It's really about trying to limit China's access to this really critical tech, weaponizing the supply chain, basically.
That's a major move. But then, and this is where it gets kind of interesting, the Trump administration has apparently signaled they might roll back the current Biden-era rules.
Uh-huh. They're saying the existing rules are overly complex. That's the term they use.
And they want a simpler rule instead, something they argue would boost U.S. innovation. That sounds like a, well, a potentially huge shift.
It really does. I mean, yeah. If you look at the big picture, you can see this tension, right, between national security, wanting to restrict access, and then wanting to fuel your own innovation and stay ahead globally.
So easing restrictions could help U.S. chip companies open up markets.
Definitely could. But it also makes you wonder about those original goals, you know, limiting China's tech advancement, especially in areas like defense.
It's a tricky balance.
Yeah, it is. Okay, shifting focus a bit globally, OpenAI has got this OpenAI for Countries initiative. That sounds ambitious.
It is ambitious. Okay. And it's not just like selling ChatGPT licenses. They're talking about partnering up with nations.
Partnering how?
To co-finance and actually build AI infrastructure, data centers, things like that, and then provide tailored AI models for local needs. Think healthcare, education.
Customized AI for specific countries.
Exactly. And they mentioned starting with, quote, democratically aligned nations. So there's a clear strategic angle there, too. It's like they're trying to be more than just a tech company.
More like a geopolitical player shaping digital infrastructure and aiming for that global growing network effect. That's a powerful idea.
It really is. It just highlights how much AI leadership matters on the world stage. And it makes you think, you know, how will these kinds of partnerships shape AI development everywhere else? And this ties into what was happening in Washington, right? Sam Altman and other tech CEOs testifying before a Senate committee.
Yes, exactly. They were talking about AI competition, specifically with China.
And what was their main message?
Pretty consistent across the board. They argued for light touch regulations. The idea being that too many rules could stifle innovation and hurt the U.S. competitive edge.
Makes sense from their perspective.
And they also really pushed for investment. Big investment in infrastructure, data centers, critically, energy sources for them, and also in building up the AI workforce, finding that balance between progress and managing the risks.
Okay, let's pivot then. How is AI making waves in the business and industry world? Some of these are hitting close to home for people.
For sure. Take CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity firm. They announced cutting 5% of their workforce, and they cited AI efficiencies.
Oof. And didn't they just have a major IT outage? The timing seems notable.
It does seem notable, yeah. It certainly adds another layer to that whole conversation about AI and job displacement, especially when it follows a service disruption like that. Raises questions.
Definitely. On a different note, you've got Salesforce planning this huge investment in Saudi Arabia, like $500 million over 5 years for AI.
Right. That's a massive commitment. It lines up perfectly with Saudi Arabia's own national AI strategy.
So big tech seeing huge potential there.
Absolutely. It reflects that broader trend of companies pouring money into markets with big digital transformation plans. It can really kickstart things locally, talent development, AI adoption across industries.
Okay, let's talk tools. Mistral AI, They seem to be making some noise with new models and an enterprise platform.
Yeah, they are. What's really interesting with Mistral is this combination of high performance, especially they say in coding and STEM fields, but at a much lower cost.
How much lower?
Reportedly something like 8 times cheaper than some competitors. That's huge. It could really, open up access to powerful AI for smaller players.
And their LitChat enterprise platform.
That looks aimed squarely at businesses. Things like enterprise search, easy ways to build AI agents without code, flexible deployment cloud or on-premise, and a big focus on privacy. They're definitely positioning themselves as a serious enterprise option. And they hinted at a big open source model coming too. Keep an eye on that.
We will. And Figma, the design tool, they just rolled out a bunch of AI stuff too. Looks like they want to be the all-in-one platform.
That seems to be the strategy, yeah.
Ah.
Figma sites for AI-helped website building, Figma Make, using Anthropic's latest model to generate code and prototypes.
Wow.
Then Figma Buzz for marketing content, kind of like Canva,
Yeah.
and Figma Draw for vector graphics. They're really embedding AI deep into that whole design workflow. It's a direct challenge to Adobe, Canva, others.
And speaking of embedding AI, Stripe launched its payments foundation model. Sounds important, but maybe less visible.
Less visible to the end user, perhaps, but potentially huge impact. They've trained this AI on literally billions of transactions.
Billions.
Yep. And they're using it to get much better at things like fraud detection. They reported a 64% jump in catching card testing for big clients and also optimizing payment authorization rates. Plus, maybe making checkout feel more personal. It's AI optimizing core business stuff.
Even Amazon's warehouses are getting smarter AI. This Vulcan robot, it has tactile sensing.
Yeah, that's the cool part. It can feel. So the AI helps it handle all sorts of different inventory items really precisely. And it's designed to work alongside people, grabbing things from high or low shelves. It's a big step up in warehouse automation, potentially boosting efficiency and maybe even safety.
Okay, shifting back to the big AI players' strategies, their reports OpenAI might change its revenue deal with Microsoft and bought a coding startup.
Right. The report suggests OpenAI might want to reduce Microsoft's share of the revenue, maybe down from 20% to 10% by 2030. It hints at, maybe a shift in their relationship as OpenAI matures.
Interesting. And the acquisition.
Yeah, Windsurf, which used to be Codeium, reportedly for $3 billion. That's their biggest buy ever. It clearly signals they want to seriously beef up ChatGPT's coding abilities and compete hard in that AI software development space.
Apple's busy too. Reports of working with Anthropic for coding help, and maybe even adding Google's Gemini to Safari?
Seems like it. The Anthropic collaboration, integrating Claude Sonnet into Xcode, that's about boosting their developer tools. Makes sense.
And Gemini and Safari, alongside OpenAI.
Yeah, the thinking there might be about giving users options, maybe clawing back some of that search traffic they reportedly lost from Safari as people started using AI tools directly for answers. It looks like Apple's hedging its bets and adapting.
Is smart.
And Google, naturally, isn't sitting still. They launched AI Max in search, but for advertisers.
This just shows how deeply AI is getting baked into advertising tech now. AI Max is supposed to help advertisers optimize their campaigns, reach more people more effectively. The line between search ads and AI marketing just keeps blurring. Okay, let's move into research and development. Some of this stuff sounds almost like science fiction. Baidu applying for a patent in China to understand animal
I
sounds.
know, right? That's pretty wild. The ambition is huge. Using AI to analyze vocalizations, behavior, maybe even physiological signals to figure out emotional states and maybe translate them.
Translate animal feelings.
That seems to be the ultimate goal. It's incredibly complex, obviously. But imagine if they can make real progress. It could totally change how we understand animals, how we treat them.
Wow. Okay, back down to earth slightly. Home security is getting smarter too. Arlo's Secure 6 update.
Yeah, some really practical AI features there. Event captions, basically short text summaries of what happened in a video clip. Saves you watching the whole thing.
That's useful.
And better video search using keywords. Plus, it can now detect more things, flames, specific sounds like gunshots, screens, glass breaking, makes the system feel much more proactive.
On a more serious note, AI looking at faces to estimate biological age, face age.
Yes. Researchers at Mass General Brigham. And what's really striking is they found a correlation between looking older, according to the AI having an older face age, and having worse survival outcomes if you have cancer.
Seriously.
Yeah. If it holds up in more studies, it could be a non-invasive way to help predict how patients might do, maybe even guide treatment. And they're looking at it for palliative care too, estimating life expectancy. Potentially very significant.
Then there's this idea of AI agents doing research for us. Web thinker.
Right. The idea is to let these advanced AIs, these large reasoning models or LRMs, loose on the web to do really in-depth research autonomously.
How autonomous?
Like searching, navigating sites, pulling out information, synthesizing it, and reporting back.
Yeah.
The goal is to get past the limits of current search methods, have AI assistants that can tackle really complex questions with less handholding.
And Future House is claiming super intelligent AI agents for science. That's a bold claim.
It is a very bold claim. Superhuman performance in things like searching and analyzing scientific papers. They want to accelerate discovery in biology, chemistry.
Can we trust it, though?
Well, they emphasize transparent reasoning, showing how the AI reached its conclusions. That's crucial for scientists to actually trust and use these tools effectively. They also just released something called Finch in beta for biology data analysis.
Okay, making video is getting easier too. Lightrix open sourced their LTX video models.
Yeah, including a pretty big one, LTX V13B. And the cool part is they say it can run on regular consumer GPUs, graphics cards. That really opens up access to AI video generation.
Democratizing it.
Exactly. And they have this multi-scale rendering technique that's supposed to make it faster and better quality. Could lead to a lot more innovation in that space.
Meanwhile, Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro is apparently topping leaderboards.
Reportedly, yeah. In things like coding benchmarks and chatbot comparisons, it just shows how fast these top models are improving. Better coding, better web dev skills, even new video understanding capabilities.
Someone even got a different Pokemon Blue.
Ah, yeah, I saw that. Well, it's a resistance, but still. It shows the increasing versatility.
And Meta's helping developers, too, with Llama Prompt Ops.
Mm-hmm. It's an open source Python library.
Hmm.
Basically, writing good prompts is key to getting good results from these language models, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this tool helps developers optimize their prompts specifically for Meta's Llama models. Makes them easier and more effective to use.
Anthropic is also reaching out to researchers with their AI for Science program.
Yeah, offering free API credits up to $20,000 worth for researchers using Claude for scientific work, especially in biology and life sciences.
That's generous.
It is. It could really spur some breakthroughs. They do have a biosecurity review process, though, which seems responsible given the potential applications. And separately, Anthropic is reportedly offering to buy back employee shares at a huge valuation, showing they're doing well financially.
Even smaller tweaks matter, like Zoom researchers finding a more efficient prompting method, chain of draft.
Absolutely. Finding ways to get similar accuracy to something like chain of thought, but using way fewer tokens, that means less compute power, lower costs.
Yeah.
It makes these big models more efficient to run.
And looking ahead, that Google DeepMind researcher mentioning 10 million token context windows coming reasonably soon.
Yeah, Nikolay Savinov. That's mind-boggling, really. Imagine an AI that can hold that much information, like vast amounts of code in its working memory at once.
Yeah.
He suggested it could lead to unrivaled and superhuman coding tools. Game-changing potential.
Okay, now let's look at AI in society. This is where things get really personal, sometimes inspiring, sometimes complicated.
Definitely. Like HeyGen, adding emotional expression to AI avatars, making them seem more natural, more relatable by analyzing text or audio for facial expressions, gestures.
Could make video presentations less robotic.
Potentially, yeah. Then you have AI-powered drones delivering medical supplies, vaccines, blood to remote areas. That's AI having a direct, positive, life-saving impact. Optimizing routes, improving healthcare access, that's fantastic.
But then there's that case in Arizona, an AI-generated video of a road rage victim giving a statement at the killer's sentencing.
Yeah, that one raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? Ethical, legal.
Mm.
Using AI to represent someone deceased in court, it's powerful, maybe, but also unsettling. Where do we draw the line?
Tough questions. And online, Reddit is trying to crack down on AI bots impersonating humans.
It's a growing problem. As bots get better, platforms need better verification to stop manipulation, keep discussions authentic. But how do you do that without sacrificing user anonymity? It's a real balancing act.
We also saw the Fiverr CEO give a pretty blunt warning to his staff.
Yeah, Micah Kaufman basically saying AI is a huge threat to jobs, even his own. And everyone needs to upskill in AI tools like yesterday to stay relevant. Very direct.
And speaking of big shifts, OpenAI reversed course on becoming fully for-profit.
Sort of. They decided the nonprofit parent will stay in control while the main operations become a public benefit corporation, or PBC. This came after a lot of public and internal debate, talks with authorities.
Trying to balance the mission with the need for massive funding.
Exactly. Reports suggest Microsoft, their biggest investor, was a key holdout, wanting assurances. And Elon Musk's lawyer called the PTC move a transparent dodge. So skepticism remains. It's complex.
There's also a big push from CEOs, over 250 of them, including Microsoft's, for mandatory computer science and AI education in schools, K-12.
Right. They argue it's essential to prepare students for the future workforce, keep the country competitive. It lines up with a White House task force looking at the same thing, a growing consensus that AI literacy needs to start early.
And an Apple exec, Eddie Q, even mused that maybe we won't need iPhones in 10 years because of AI.
Huh. That's quite a statement from inside Apple. Maybe not a prediction, but it shows they're thinking about how fundamentally AI could change personal tech, maybe move us beyond the smartphone eventually.
Meta's exploring new things, too. Stablecoins for paying creators.
Yeah.
AI glasses with super sensing.
The stablecoin idea is about easier, cheaper, cross-border payments for creators on Instagram, etc. The AI glasses, that's more futuristic. Talk of super sensing, maybe facial recognition for proactive help, raises huge privacy alarms, obviously.
Definitely. And interestingly, Meta also blamed Trump-era tariffs for contributing to their rising AI infrastructure costs.
Shows how global trade policy filters down and impacts even the cost of building AI data centers. It all adds up.
The U.S. Copyright Office is dealing with AI, too, registering over 1,000 works that used AI.
Yeah, and they're sticking to their guidance. Copyright protects the human contribution, not what the AI generates on its own. It's an early framework for AI and intellectual property. Still evolving, I'm sure.
And AI access is even reaching kids now. Google reportedly rolling out Gemini for under 13s.
With safety guardrails through their Family Link supervised accounts. But yes, it shows AI is becoming part of the digital landscape, even for very young users. Makes those safety features absolutely critical.
Finally, a couple quick ones. RERA Smart Rings adding AI for food logging, nutrition advice.
More personalized health tech.
And the U.S. AI czar, David Sachs, predicting a million-fold increase in AI capability in the next 4 years.
A million times. That's an almost inconceivable number. It just speaks to the sheer speed and scale of change people are anticipating.
Absolutely. So looking across all these developments, the one thread that really stands out is just how fast AI is weaving itself into, well, pretty much everything.
Everything. National security, how businesses run, how science gets done, the devices we carry or might carry in the future. It's just relentless innovation, huge investment, and these constant necessary debates about what it all means for society.
Which brings it back to you listening. How might all this affect your work, your career plans, just your daily life with technology? Are you seeing ways to use these tools?
Or maybe thinking about the ethical side. It's vital we all engage with this stuff. And, you know, if you are looking to really get ahead, to master the skills needed in this AI world, remember Etienne Newman, who created this show? He also developed JamGatech.
Right, JamGatech.
It's an AI-powered app designed to help you master and actually ace over 50 different in-demand certifications. We're talking cloud, cybersecurity, finance, business, healthcare.
And it has performance-based questions, quizzes, flashcards.
Labs, simulations, the works, everything you need to really level up your skills. Definitely worth checking out if you're serious about staying competitive.
So what's the big takeaway here? I mean, it feels like we're right in the middle of this massive transformation, doesn't it? Driven by AI.
Totally. Everything we talk about, chip rules, science tools, emotional avatars, you're just snapshots of this future that's unfolding incredibly quickly.
The sheer breadth and pace of it all, that's the key. Governments trying to regulate, companies trying to integrate, researchers pushing boundaries. AI is changing things at a really fundamental level.
And again, if you want tools to help you navigate and excel in this new era, take a look at JamGatech. Etienne Newman built it to provide that comprehensive learning experience.
We really hope this deep dive gave you some valuable insights, maybe sparked a few aha moments. What really stood out to you from everything we covered? What questions does it leave you with?
Yeah, definitely think about that. And maybe here's one final thought to chew on. As AI gets more and more integrated into, well, everything, how do we collectively make sure its development and uses actually line up with our human values? How do we steer it towards a future that benefits everyone?
That's a big question, and one definitely worth exploring more.
For sure.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts for more explorations into the world of artificial intelligence.